Daf is Daf Tzadi Tes. So let's take it two lines down. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Ubilvad Shlo Yotzei Chutz. So this is going back on the Mishnah that a person standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and he's moving around an object that's in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, so the din is he's allowed to as long as he doesn't move the object for Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So the Gemara says the implication is ha hotzi. If he does carry the item for Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, chayv chatas, he's chayv chatas. It's a hotza dal Amos bir Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So Gemara says, Lema Masaili, let's say that this supports the opinion of Rava. Dama Rava, Hamavir Chayfetz Mitchilas Arba Lesof Arba. A person carries an object from the beginning, from point zero to four Amos. The din is, Vehevir Derech Alav, and he carries it elevated, he's Chayv. In other words, normally we know that the din of Rosh Hashanah is only 10 Tvachim below. So if a guy is carrying an item within 10 Tvachim below the ground, Dal Amos, that's certainly a problem. But let's say he picks it up from the ground, then he carries it above 10 tefachim, and then drops it at the other end of 4 amos, below 10 tefachim, that Rava says you're chayv in that case. So this must be the implication from the Mishnah. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says at the top line, ha-hotzi, ha-chayfetz midalad amos, ha-chayv, afagavdu omid begavo, even though the guy's standing much higher than 10 tefachim, v'gbiu l'malam yasara, Veviru, and he carries it, he transfers it above 10 tefachim over the over a measurement of 4 amos. Lo aminin havar is derech makum p'tur. We don't say he went through a makum p'tur and he should be exempt from this. Alma, basar hanacha v'akira azlina. We go based on the beginning, the akira, and the hanacha at the end, where he started and where he ended. Since they're both on the ground, Rosh Hashanah Rabim, he's chayv, even though in the interim it was in an area of Makom Ptur. So that's the implication from the Mishnah, and that serves as a support for the Shita of Rava. So the Gemara says, that's not true. Even though Rava says what he says, our Mishnah is not conclusive that it could be learned that way, because Mikatani im hotzi chayv chatas, does the Mishnah actually say, if he does carry it, dal amos is chayv? It says, just don't carry it, dal amos. But it doesn't say, if you do, you're chayv chatas. Maybe the Mishnah could be interpreted, dilma im hotzi pater of al aser. If you do carry it, it's aser to do so, but doesn't necessarily mean your chayv chatas, maybe just pater of al aser. Ikadami, a little bit of a different version of this shak v'tari, the Gemara says, ha hotzi pater of al aser. Now the Gemara says, maybe the implication from the Mishnah is you could carry an item in Rosh Hashanah Rabim as long as you don't go dal amos, and if you do, it's pater of al aser. And now the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, you're carrying it down Amos above 10 Tefachim, that you're Pater of Al-Asr, Lema Teve Tiyufta de Rava. This is a Mishnah that contradicts the statement of Rava. Dama Rava, Hamavir Chevetz Mitchilis Dalad, Lesov Dalad V'Hevir Derech Olav, He's Chayiv, and our Mishnah implies that it's only Pater of Al-Asr, to which Gemara says, our Mishnah is not conclusive. Mikatani Hotzi Pater of Al-Asr, does the Mishnah actually say, and if you do carry it, you're only Pater of Al-Asr? Dilma, maybe the proper interpretation should be, im hotzi chayv chatas, and therefore, no matter how you slice it, it's not conclusive from the Mishnah, whether it's a support or whether it's a contradiction to the Shita of Rava. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, lo yamod adam b'rishis yachad v'chulum. This is referring to an individual who was standing with Rishis Yachad, and he was being mashed, and he was urinating into Rishis Rabim, or he perhaps was spitting into Rishis Rabim. So the din was that a person should not do that. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Hishin v'rok chayv chatas. If one does do this, if he urinates or he spits from Rishus Yachad or to Rishus Rabin, he's chayv chatas from going from one Rishus to another Rishus. Now the Gemara says, how could that be? How could a person be chayv a chatas from going Rishus Yachad, Rishus Rabin in this case? V'ha ba'inan akira v'anacha me'al gave makam dalad v'leka. You have to have an akira that starts off on a makam dalad and has to end off on a makum dalad. From a person's mouth, that's not a makum dalad. That's not dal by dalad amos. So how could there be a chiv chatas in this case? This we should be reminded of the beginning of Masechet Shabbos. The first parak, the first few daf, spoke about this topic. So Gemara says, machshavaso mashvile makum. A person's machshava is able to make that which is smaller than a makum into a significant makum. That's enough a machshava alone. Rashi just says here, machshavaso, two narrow lines down, shutzarach l'chach, that he needs this, mashvile hotza chashuva, makes the maisa into maisa chashuva. Meaning normally, when it starts off in a makum dalad, and the hanacha is on a makum dalad, that makes it a maisa chashuva. Now, if it's less in that area, a person's machshava alone could also make it into a maisa hotza chashuva. Tosas adds one layer here. He says, machshavaso mashvile makum. My machshava, my thought, can make something into a significant act. Dafka b'chiyai gavna dinehene b'osa makum tvei b'makum acher. Now, Tosas adds, has to be where you're getting hana from this place more so than another place. It's not enough just a person to have kavana, has to be a kavana where there's actually hana. He says, kagon, b'fi kelev shiyachlenu, if you're feeding an animal, you put it into his mouth, even though his mouth isn't dal by dal, you're getting hana because it's your dog and you're feeding it. That's a responsibility that you have. So you're getting hana by feeding the animal. B'pi kivshan shetisraf sham, you want to throw something in the fire to fuel the fire. That's also the hana that you're getting. V'chein hishik rok, when a person urinates, a person spits, these are hanas that the machshavas is mashvele makom. Aval, but a person just stam throws, he goes on to say, for no reason, without any hana, even though there's kavana without hana, Tosa says, will not actually create a makom. So Gemara now goes to prove this point. How do we know machshavaso mashvele makom, that a person's machshava with hana creates a makom dal badal, even though physically it's not dal badal, but qualitatively it is. Dilo temach, if you don't say this, ha dama Rava, Rava says, zark v'nach b'fi kelev, or b'fi kivshan, that Tosas alluded to before, person throws an item and it lands into a dog's mouth or into an oven, and the assumption right now is neither are dal by dalad, chai v'chathas. Why are you chai v'chathas throwing from Rishis Rabim into the dog's mouth, into the kivshan? V'ha ba'inan hanacha agabe makom dal v'lek, and neither of these are dal by dalad amos. Elamach Shivasa Mashvile Makom must be his thought plus Hana, I'll add, makes this into a significant Makom. So here as well, Hachanami, Mach Shivasa Mashvile Makom. Here as well, when the person's being mashed or is being roke into the Rishis Rabim from Rishis Yachid, there's a Mach Shava with Hana, which makes it into a significant Makom. So Gemara asks the question, Boy, Rav asks the question, what about the following case? He's again urinating from Rishis Yachid, and the Piyama is in Rishis Rabim. So he's not entirely in Rishis Rabim. He's mostly in Rishis Yachid, but the Piyama is in Rishis Rabim. So what do you say in this case? Do you say is a question from Rishis Yachid to Rishis Rabim, or no? Do we assume it's Rishis Rabim to Rishis Rabim, which would be allowed? Maho Basra Akira's name, based on the Akira, where from his body, it's ochre from the body itself, and therefore it would be from Rishis Yachid to Rishis Rabim. Oh, Basra Yitzir, maybe go based on the exit of the Meraglim, which case that's currently in Rishis Rabim, and you would say it's Rishis Rabim to Rishis Rabim, which would be Pater, and the Gemara ends off as a Teku. Now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. So the Mishnah had said a person should not spit from Rishis Yachid to Rishis Rabim. And Rabbi Yehuda said, "Im nitlash, if the saliva it was already detached, already came up, is ready to spit, so then a person should not walk Dalad Amos." So now Gemara wants to know, within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, where we have Mishnah nitlash, when the saliva gathered up, and it's now a separate entity in his mouth. It's like a drink in his mouth, so he shouldn't walk Dalad Amos. So the Gemara says, Afagav dil hafichba. Even though he wasn't hafichba, hafichba means he doesn't move it around in his mouth. He doesn't like try to, you know, kind of soak up and build up the, you know, the saliva, get more and more. It just, he has some saliva in his mouth, and he's able to spit it out. But the Gemara says that even if he doesn't try to, you know, gain more saliva in there, that itself would be a problem to walk Dalad Amos. So the Gemara says, v'hatzanan, the Mishnah says, Haya ochel dvela b'yadayim musu avos. So guy is eating dvela, he's eating some type of fig cake made of chuma. And the din is that if a person, the way it works when it comes to chuma, or any food, it can become tamei if it comes into contact with one of the seven liquids. So what happens here, so he's eating dvela b'yadayim musu avos. So his hands are dirty. Now his hands can be metamei chuma if it touches the chuma, but the chuma, the food has to first come into contact with one of the seven liquids. And if it does, then he touches it, the chuma is now tame. So his hands are tame. V'hichnis yada l'toch piv l'itol tzur, he has got something in his mouth, a rock or something in his teeth. He takes something out of his teeth with his hands. Now his hands are all wet, and he touches the dvela. He can possibly be metame the dvela since his hands are wet now. Rabbi Meir metame, he's metame. And Rabbi Yossi metar, this is machlokas, whether or not it's metame or not. If you look at Rashi to explain the machlokas, Rashi says Rabbi Meir metame. He says Shehare huchsharu hachuma b'rok shebefiv. Now the chuma, the dvela, is prepared. It's huchshar by the saliva from my mouth. It touched the dvela, so that's all wet and susceptible to tuma. While Rabbi Yossi metar, the kesaver calls man shayrok b'soch biv. As long as the saliva is still in my mouth, lav mashku. That's not called a mashka. It's like the body of a person. If it's internal, it's not called a liquid yet, and therefore it's not mitame, it's not machshir, it still remains tahor. So that's machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir. But we're concerned.
I'm not saying according to Rabbi Meir, but it doesn't have to be that you want the liquid to be, you know, if it rains, you don't want it to
look. You want the ki chayutan. Very good question. It must be that you want to be wet. It's a very good question. Could be. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hefech ba, Rabbi Yehuda now qualifies as Hefech ba, if you, you know, kind of swirl the saliva in your mouth, so then the saliva is considered a separate entity, and that's machshir, even though it hasn't left your mouth yet. And according to Hefech ba tameh, lo Hefech ba tahor, but if you're not mehapech it in the mouth, then it's tahor. So this is a contradiction, because we're saying by Hilchos Tumah, you need Hefech ba for the saliva to be considered a mashke. But with regards to Hilchos Shabbos, we don't know, we don't need Hefech ba. Even if you're not Hefech ba, it's still going to be considered a separate mashke and would be considered carrying. So Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Muchlef the Shita, let's switch around the Shitas, and it must not be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda must have been saying something else, or let's switch to the Tanakama. Somehow you're switching the Shitas around, and it won't be any type of Shaila. That's Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. Comes along now, Reish Lakish, Amr Liolam Lo Tachlef, don't switch them around. The cases are different. Rabbi Yehuda's Lashitasa. V'hacha b'mayaskinan b'cheicha. When it's coming to phlegm, not saliva, but when there's phlegm that comes up. So it comes to phlegm, so then Rabbi Yehuda would say it's a problem. So the case of the Mishnah with walking, the guy's on Shabbos, the guy's got some phlegm that comes up, so we say don't walk on Shabbos, that's hotzah. If there's no phlegm, it's just saliva, so then we say if he is mefich ba, so then the saliva becomes significant, it's a mashke. It's a mashke both on hotzah and Shabbos, and it's a mashke l'machshir tumah. But if it's not, if he's not hefech ba, and it's simply saliva, then it's meaningless. So Gemara says, is that really true? That Rabbi Yehuda holds, but when it comes to chicha, when it comes to phlegm, it's different. The Hatani, the Braisa, teaches us that Rabbi Yehuda omer chicha v'nitlash, a person has some phlegm, he shouldn't, and it comes separate, he shouldn't walk out amos. So now the Gemara, it's a strange havamin. The Gemara says, what's chicha mean? My lav rok v'nitlash? Even though the word chicha is being used, the Gemara is interpreting it, at least initially, as rok. If he has saliva and to nitlash, he shouldn't walk, and we say when it comes to rok, he needs to be mefich ba. So Gemara says, no, lo, kicho v'nitlash. The Braisa clearly said, kicho. If there's phlegm, so you don't need to beifich. Phlegm itself is considered something separate as carrying. So kicho v'nitlash. But doesn't the Braisa say separately that omer kicho shenitlash, v'chein roko shenitlash, lo yalich arba amos ad shiarok? The Braisa says they're both separate. Both kicho and roko, if it's nitlash, you can't walk down amos, and there is no distinction of hefich ba, for it's not hefich ba, and therefore we reject the shita Reish Lakish. There's no such distinction, El Mechaversa, Kedashina Meikara, that Rabbi Huda were switching one of the Shitas of Rabbi Huda to make sure that he's consistent in what he had said. So now that we spoke about roke and spit, the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish. Kicha, kiach, bifnei rabo, chai misa. Person who spits in front of his Rebbe is chai misa. Shinemar, it says in the passing of Mishle, describing how one treats Torah. Ko mesane ahava mavis, those who hate me should love death, meaning the end will be chiyah misa. They're going to fall in love with death. That's going to be their fate. Al tikrei misanai ela masni'ai. Not talking about those who hate me, the Torah, but those who hate those who carry the Torah, those who teach the Torah, one who shows disrespect to a rav, to a rebbe, so therefore he's chiyah misa based on the pasuk Mishle. So Kumar says, v'ha menes anis. It was again, he was onus. He had no choice. As Rashi explains here, this is against his will. The phlegm came up because he was sick. He had a little bit of a cold. He had, whatever it was. Then he had no choice in doing that. You can't just prevent the phlegm from coming through your throat. And the Gemara says, no. To have phlegm, you can't help that. But to have to spit in front of your Rebbe, that's not appropriate. Rashi says, Keach v'rach rok b'kamrinam, shirokak osa b'fnei rabo, paya lo listalik misham olav liu miksuso. He should have spit off to the side or put it into a tissue, but to spit mamish in front of his Rebbe, some phlegm, that's considered entirely disrespectful, and that's what the Pasuk of Mishnah means, that such a person is in fact chai misa. I just wanted to quickly look, because I think Ezra had a very good question about the chiyutan question, the ratam. Let me just quickly see if it's addressed on the bottom, otherwise we'll go ahead. And if not, we'll just... okay, I don't see it here.
You can say the saliva is for his enjoyment, because somebody needs that to break down the food, so technically. For a benefit, if you're having enough, I think that's what the Yutan meant, right?
If you have to want it. I don't see it addressed. It could be something like that. He wanted it somehow, whatever that want is. But okay, let's begin now. The mission on the bottom here of Tzadi Tes Amun Alf. The mission says, Lo yamod adam b'shus ha-yachid, v'yishta b'shus ha-ram. A person should not stand in b'shus ha-yachid and drinking in Rosh Hashanah at the same time. He sticks his neck out and he's drinking from a kli in Rosh Hashanah, but his body is in Rosh Hashanah. He shouldn't do that. Nor vice versa. Rosh Hashanah, he should be entirely inside the domain that he's drinking. So he has to have his head Moses' body in the area from where he is drinking. It's not enough to simply stick your head out. Rove of the body must be there as well. V'chein bevgas, we'll see what bevgas means in a second. It's referring to some type of press area of the wine. We'll get to that on Amud Beis. So Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanan V'seifa Rabbi Meir. There's a stira in an earlier Mishnah and this current Mishnah. Because the earlier Mishnah had said that a person, if he's standing in the Rishas Yochid, he's allowed to carry an item in the other Rishas, as long as he doesn't go down Amos. Here, we're saying the guy can't drink. He's in one Rishas, and don't drink from the other Rishas. So isn't that the contradiction? That the first opinion was Rabbanim. They were not concerned of a gzera, that you could carry an area in the different domain that you're in, just don't go down Amos. Here it says, no, don't drink from a different domain unless most of your body is in that Rishas. So it's a stira who authored these two consecutive Mishnayos. And the Gemara says there is no contradiction to who the Mechaber is. Amar Rav Yosef, b'chafetin she'tzrichen lo v'divri akol. It's talking about something that you want. In other words, when Rabbanan said you're allowed to carry while standing Rishas Yochid, you can move an item in Rishas Rabim, that's when you didn't need the chafetz. Whatever reason the guy was moving something in the other Rishas, he didn't really need it. Here is an instance where you need the object, where you're drinking the water, so it's possible that you're bringing the water in the cup from Rishas Yochid into Rishas Rabim, and that's why there's a more serious problem here. So even Rabbanan would be Moda and Divri Akol in this case, that you should not move an item that's in a different Rishas than you are in.
So you're thinking of the cup as opposed to like with your hand? Let's say you lean over the bore and you...
No, same thing I would imagine, because you want the water as well. So then the Gemara says, Ibarilu, karmelis mai. What's it din by a karmelis? Rashi just explains the question here, five lined up from the bottom. Karmelis mai. Mahu shiyamur b'karmelis v'yishe b'rishas yachid? Oh, b'rishas rabim. Can a person stand in a karmelis and drink from rishas yachid or in rishas rabim? When it comes to rishas yachid and rishas rabim, those two next to each other, there's a real deraisa there. Once you throw karmelis into the equation, then we're only going din derabanan. So there's such a gzer. Would this Mishnah hold up when one of the domains that we're talking about is a karmelis? So Gemara says, Ibailu karmelis mai. Amar Bai says, he, it's the same exact thing. One should not drink in one domain when he's next to a karmelis as well. So the response from Rava is, Amar Rava, he gufa gzeira. Vana nekam v'nigza gzeira l'gzeira. In itself is a gzeira, right? Drinking while standing in Rishas Yachid and the water from Rishas Rabim, that itself was only a gzeira. And now a karmelis is yet another gzeira. We don't do ein gozen gzeira al gzeira. So therefore, Rava argument says that this gzera would not apply. You can stand in Rishas Yochid and drink in a karmelis, or Rishas Rabim and drink from a karmelis. So Gemara now wants to know, how did Abaye, where did he know that there was a gzera, that the gzera applied equally to a karmelis? So Amar Abaye says, Mina Minala, how do you know? Midikatani v'chein begas, the very last line of the Mishnah, a very cryptic statement, v'chein begas, that also was talking about what's a gas is understood to be a karmelis of some sort. Rashi explains the top line, V'chein Bagas, of Tadi Tesma Beis here. Hi, Gas Mahi, what exactly is the nature of this Gas? So the Gemara says, Gas is like some type of like wine press of some sort. E B'Rishas Yachid, V'Kamar Delo Yamad B'Rishas Rabim, V'Yoshib B'Tavar Bagas, V'Yitel Kli V'Yishe. If it's Rishas Yachid, Hatan L'Reish, we already spoke about Rishas Yachid. Why is the Mishnah giving an example of the generic statement that was already mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah? Elav, it must be something that wasn't already mentioned. It must be a Karmelis. That's the din. So that's how Rabbi knew, forgetting Gzeira Alexeira, however you want to answer that question, but from the textual proof here, we understand that that it was Chemagas meant the Karmelis. Now this is something I mentioned many times, that Abai and Rava oftentimes argued Svara versus text. So Abai felt the text was more, was more conclusive, the mission of Chemagas. Even though the logic didn't make sense, because Ein goes on Alexeira, he was more comfortable relying on the text. While Rava was always more interested in the Svara, so the Chaim Bagas will find an interpretation for Chaim Bagas, but the Svar doesn't make sense to be Gozen in a case of a garmless, on the garmless, Ain Gozen, Gzeir Alexeira. So it comes along the Gemara. Rava says, no, it's there's no din by karmless, there's no Gzeir by karmless. What does it mean, Chaim Bagas, in the Mishnah? The Rava Amar, Linen Meiser, it's talking about Meiser. Now, Meiser has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, has Meiser fit into the picture. So the Gemara explained that there's a, we'll read the continuation of the Gemara now. V'chein Amar Rav Sheshes, V'chein Magas, Lina Meiser. He also said that that last line of the Mishnah was referring to Meiser. What's the relevance of Meiser to this Mishnah? The Tanan. Shosin Alagas, I'll give you a little background actually before we go ahead. The din is, when it comes to Tevel, it's also to eat Tevel until you separated Shumos and Meisros. But if a person eats Derech Arai, Achilles Arai, you're in the farm, you're in the Gats, you're just picking a little bit of grapes here and there as a snack, there's no Chiv Tevel, there's no Isser Tevel, there's no Chiv Meisros in that case. Now, if a person, however, is being Koveya himself, then he already Chayef. So let's say the Gemara says in Beta, on Shabbos, there's no such thing as achilas arai. Even though if on a Sunday I have a little grapes, that's a snack. On a Shabbos, even a snack is called achilas keva. And you have to take chupas and maisos before eating achilas arai on Shabbos. By definition, Shabbos is kovea, every suda is achilas keva. Or let's say a person in Mamish decides to have a suda. So there's certain things that are going to establish achilas arai, turn into achilas keva, and you can't eat it without taking chupas and maisos. So Gemara says, that's not shosin alagas, bein bechamin, bein betzonein, upater, divrei Rebbe Meir. A person could drink, take a little snack of wine, even though he's diluting it with some, remember their wine was very, very potent. They had to dilute it with water. So he says, whether you're diluting with warm water, whether you're diluting with cold water, the guy's just snacking at all. Snacking is simply achilas arai, and there's no need to take any chumas and maisos. So about comes along Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzadok, he's mechayev. He says one's chayev in both instances. The moment that you pour water into the wine, dilute it, that's indicative of a keva, as Rashi says, two narrow lines down. Mechayev demeziga shemozigo habavayim mashule keva. That itself is already you're being kovei yourself to drink. But come along the chachamim, they say chacham omrim al hachamim chayev va tzonein pater mipnei shemachzis emosa. Depends what you're using. If you're using hot water, once you pour hot water in the wine, you won't return whatever you don't drink back to the gas because it's going to ruin it. The hot water is going to, I don't know, create the ferment quicker, it will get it bad. If it's cold water, you drink it and you have some leftover cold water, you're very comfortable putting it back in the rest of the wine press because it's not going to ruin the rest. That's what it's referring to. What does it have to do with anything we're talking about right now? So if you take a look at Rashi says here, if you pour with hot water, you won't return the rest back, and that's considered a keva. You don't plan on throwing the rest back into the gas. When you pour the hot water, your intention is to drink the entire cup, the entire bottle, because you're not going to put it back. That makes your drinking into keva, and you need to take meiser. If you pour cold water into the wine, that doesn't make it into a keva drinking. You'll take a little sip, and you put the rest back. That could be a nice snack. Whenever you drink, it's considered a snack. So how does that fit into the Mishnah? Our Mishnah, the Katani v'chein begas, Rabbi Meir hi, v'katani lo yamud agave karka v'yishte begas, below hafrash is meiser, elmke nichnes rosho rubo legas. The whole heter is only when you're drinking in the wine press. If I'm drinking somewhere outside that area, that's already considered keva. So now if I'm standing, let's say, on the border, part of me is outside, part of me is inside, how does one define if I'm drinking in the gas and there's a heter of eating a chesarai, or am I standing outside that's already considered keva? It depends how much of your body is, right? Meir says, if you're just putting your head in, that means it's considered outside, that's a chiles keva. If rosho, verubo, are inside the gas, so then that's considered a chiles gas, a chiles arai, and you repot their meiser. So nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos at all, it's just a parallel, a parallel case of what's considered in rishus versus out of rishus, just like by Hilchos Shabbos, here too by Hilchos meiser. So Mishnah now says on the Amud Beis here, Kolate Adam mina mazachila lemata measar tvachim umetzinur mikomakom shosa. Let me explain what's going on here. Their rooftops, they have interesting pictures here in the Masifta, maybe in the art school. They had flat rooftops, and there were some drains coming down, and there was a gutter that went across the house, and at the end, they kind of just dropped. And sometimes they had a tzinur, which wasn't a gutter exactly attached to the house, but actually moved away from the house. Imagine this is my house. So mazachila, it's going along the line, the parallel of the house, and tzinur goes the other direction, takes it away from the house. So the din is a chashash here. Now the house and the gag is considered rishus yachid. I'm standing rishus harabim. So now if I'm catching from the rooftop, it's going from rishus yachid to rishus harabim. So if I'm, let's say, the tzinur, the machshela, the gag is going that way, that drips down. If it drips down, and I catch it in the bottom, I'm collated on the bottom at 10 tefachim below. 10 tefachim below is rishus harabim. In essence, I caught it in rishus harabim. That's fine. That's okay. I'm standing in Rishis Rabim, and the water came to my possession in Rishis Rabim. That's okay. But if I'm holding it above Ten Tvachim, close to the rooftop, that's actually, I'm standing in Rishis Rabim. That's like I'm taking from the Rishis Yachid into where I'm standing in Rishis Rabim. That's a problem. So the mission now says, when can you be kolet? When could you catch the water from the gutter? The Gemara says again, the Mishnah says, kolet adam min maschila lematim esar tvachim. Only when the water drips below 10 tvachim of the ground, only at that point could I catch the water midair. umina tinor. But however, if I'm taking water from the tinor, which is the pipe that goes away from the house, then mikol makom I can take it wherever I want, because it, since it's not close to the house at all, no one's going to think I'm taking from the gag from Rishisarach. That's the din. So the Gemara now says, kolit in aval mitzarif lo. Kolit is when I catch the water. Mitzarif is when I come close. Like mitzarif means to mitzarif, to come together. If I'm going to drink water directly from the gutter, or take the water directly from the gutter, don't let it drip down to 10 tefachim from the ground. That's a problem. Why is that a problem? Because my time, Amar Rav Nachman, hocha b'matzchela pachos migimol samach l'gag askinam. We're talking about where the gutter is within 3 tefachim of the rooftop. D'chol pachos migimol, anything at less than 3 tefachim, we know we apply lavud. Samach l'gag, kigag dami, that's like the gag itself. And since I'm standing with Rishis Rabim, I'm taking from the rooftop, it's like I'm taking from Rishis Yochid to Rishis Rabim, so be mitzarif, putting my mouth close or my kli close to the gutter would be a problem. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that supports this. This brisa is very, very confusing what it means. There are a number of different gersos here. I'm going to just read it kind of at face value. The Masifta and the Art Scroll, the side of the page of different gersos, but this brisa says, according to Rashi, it's proving this point here, that mitzarif is a problem when it's close to the gag. So the brisa says as follows. Tanya nami hachi, omid adam rishis yachid, and now some say it really should be rishis rabim, so that's where it gets confusing. Umagbia yada lamala me'asar tvachim, lepachas mishlosha samach lagag, v'kolit. So we're going to take the reading at face value. A person standing rishis yachid can elevate his hands to above 10 tvachim, within 3 tvachim of the rooftop, v'kolit, and he could catch it from there, ubavad shlo yitzarif, as long as he's not mitzarifit. So I'm not going to go through the different gersos, because again, it's quite confusing, but this brisa is supposed to be proving to us that being kolit is okay, being mitzarif is not okay. Tani idach, the other brisa says, lo yamod adam b'rishis ha-yochid, v'yagbiya yadol mala me'asar tvachim, l'pachas migimel samach l'gag v'yitzarif. What a person can't do is exactly what the Mishnah said, that a person cannot stand in rishis ha-yochid, and lift his hand up above 10 tvachim and catch it close to the rooftop, and be mitzarif aval kolit hu v'shoset. So this too is confusing. It really should be rishis ha-rabim. They shouldn't be saying rishis ha-rabim and collect from rishis ha-yochid. Either way, this is the point, even though the brises are a little bit confusing in terms of the gear cells. The Gemara now concludes this statement of the Mishnah, Minatsinur Mikomakom Shosa. So what we said, if the pipe goes away from the house, not parallel to the house, but away from the house, perpendicular to the house, that you could take from anywhere you want, since it's not close to the rooftop. There's no chashash of anybody saying you're taking it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So Gemara does have one caveat here, Tana, Im Yesh Bitsinur Dalid Aser. If the pipe is very big, where it's 4x4 amos, which means it's a rishus bifnei atzmo, then it's aser mipnei shehum kimotzi mishut rishus. Now, if the pipe takes on a nature on its own rishus, then it's a problem taking from the tzinor, even if it's far from the house, because it itself becomes a shishiyachid, and you're taking from it to the rishus rabim in which you are standing. Okay, now the Mishnah says as follows. Bor birshus harab, v'chulyaso gavoa asar tvachim. Let's say you have a pit that's in rishus rabim, and on top of the pit, you dug out the pit, so now there's a mound of dirt that goes around it. So now you have 10 tefachim of dirt out of the pit, and 10 tefachim deep, at least, of the bore itself. So now the din is, the chalon shal gaba, but there's a window. Let's say outside my window, I see a mound of dirt, and then beyond the mound of dirt is the pit. So the din is, from my window, I'm allowed to mimalin heimanu b'shabas. I could take things there on top of the mound. I could take it from my house to the mound, because they're both considered, it's not a rishus rabim at all. So the Gemara is going to clarify some of the measurements here. Ashba, Rishis Rabim, if there's a pile of garbage in Rishis Rabim, Gavo Asar Tvachim, it's above 10 Tvachim, which means it's not Rishis Rabim. We know Rishis Rabim only goes less than 10 Tvachim. So here's a big pile of garbage that's above 10 Tvachim. Chalon Shal Gaba, if I have a window that's above that area, I could be Shofchin Latocha, my Shabbos. I could pour water from my window onto the pile of garbage, because that is not Rishis Rabim. It's already above 10 tefachim. So Gemara wants to clarify what exactly are the details here. B'maya askin, and what's the case here? Elaim, if you're going to tell me bismucha, if you're telling me that the boar is very close to my house, which Rashi says within 4 tefachim of my house, which means there can't be Rishis Rabim. Rishis Rabim must be at least 4 tefachim wide. If it's less than 4 tefachim, that means it takes on the nature of a makum patur. So then, if it's within 4 tefachim of my house, so lamali chuya asar, what's the need of that mound of dirt, the 10 tefachim that we spoke of here? Just look at Rashi. Rashi says here in the Gemara, around 10 lines up from the bottom here, inema besmucha. If the boar is close to my house, my window, shebor smucha lakosel besoch arba tefachim, within 4 tefachim of my house, lamali chuya asar, why do I need a chuli of asara, a mound of 10 tfachim as well? Bor gufa rishis yachid. The bor itself is a rishis yachid from mukasara. It's at least 10 tfachim deep. Varei ein rishis harabim, mafsek is bin time. And there is no separation of our rishis harabim between my rishis and the bor because of the area we said is smucha. It's less than 4 tfachim. There's no rishis harabim that can be less than 4 tfachim. So that's pashut. Of course I could pour from my window into the bor. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, or Rav Huna rather, Hacha b'maya skin, what's the case here? B'mufleges minakosa arba. It's where the boar is 4 tfachim away. So now if it were to be flat, so my chalon, and then there's a 4 tfachim of space on the ground, that's called the extension of Rishis Rabim, and then there's a boar that's further away, so then I can't go from my house to the boar because I'm going over a Rishis Rabim. But if there's a mound of dirt that fills up the area that goes above Tven Tvachim, that now just nullified the Rishis Rabim that's there, even though it's 4 Tvachim wide, but since there's the mound of 10 Tvachim above, that's no longer Rishis Rabim. So I could go from my window to the boar. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says again, Mimufleges Merakosa Arba, the time Adika Chul Yasar, because since there's a mound that's 10 Tvachim high, it's Mevatil the Shem Rishis Rabim that was once there. But if there is not, if there's not 10 tfachim high of the chulia, of the dirt, of the mound, it would be a problem of kamatalta rishis yachad, the rishis yachad, derech rishis rabim. Now I'm going from one rishis to another rishis through a rishis rabim, that would be a problem. So that's the diak to be made from the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu tema bismucha. Even if, let's say, it is smucha, even if it's right next to my house, and there's no 4 tfachim in between, there's still a chiddush. What's the chiddush Rabbi Yochanan teaches us? He says, afilu tema bismucha, hakmash blan, debor v'chuyaso, mitstarfin lasar. This is a teaching as a din that we discussed like 10 days ago or so, that whether or not you're allowed to mitstarif the omek of something and the height of something. The good and I forget the mechitza, the different levels. So here, let's say you have the boar that's 5 tvachim deep, and you have a mound that's 5 tvachim above, that adds up to a total of 10 tvachim. Can one combine the tvachim of the depth and the height? And Rabbi Yochanan says, you're allowed to, and that's going to establish a Rishis Yochid, because had it not been that way, then the boar would be viewed as an extension of Rishis Rabim of some sort. But by you creating a mechitza of 10 tvachim, you're allowed to go from my Rishis to the boar. So with the boar plus a chuyaso makes it a total of 10 tvachim, even if it's next to my house. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah further, Ashba b'Rishis Rabim, if there's a pile of garbage that's in Rishis Rabim, if it's 10 tfachim high, well, we know at that point it's no longer Rishis Rabim, so that's why I can pour from my house onto and empty out my garbage onto this pile that's in Rishis Rabim. So Gemara says, V'lo chashinan shema tinatil ashba, and we're not concerned that someone might come and take the ashba, right? Sometimes the garbage came and picked it up, and maybe what's going to happen is it's going to be less than 10 tfachim at some point after they start clearing out the top of the garbage. Now when I put from my house onto the ashra, maybe the ashra is only 5 tfachim high at this point, and that's actually considered part of the Rishis Rabim. So that would be a problem. So we should never let someone put something on a pile of garbage lest it come lower than 10 tfachim. So are we not concerned? V'lo chashina and shema tinata ashra, and let it go less than 10 tfachim. Don't we have a statement, V'hamer Rabin bar Rav Ada amar Rabbi Yitzchak ma'isa b'mavoy echad shetzide echad kol liyam. There is a mavoy, an alleyway, that one end ended up in the water. The other end had a garbage, and the garbage was serving as a mechitza. Rebbe came and was presented the shaila whether or not this is considered a mavo that's closed off that you could carry on Shabbos. He didn't respond. He didn't say it's aser, nor did he say it's mutter. Why not? Heter lo amr, he didn't say it's mutter. The chashin and shema tinatel ashba v'yala yam shirto. Maybe the garbage is going to be removed, and it's going to have, you're going to lose a 10 tfachim of wall. So he didn't want to give a heter for this. But iser also, he didn't say iser lo amr the ha kaimin mechitas, because right now there are actually mechitas, so he can't say it's aser when in fact currently there is mutter. But he did. He was concerned that down the line, maybe the garbage will be removed and it will lose its status as being a wall. So just like Rebbe was concerned, so too shouldn't we be concerned in the Mishnah that the ashram might get lower than 10 tfachim? And the Gemara says, no, lokashia hadi yachad hadi rabim. It depends the size of it. So I would have thought, the Mefarshim says a certain way, I would have thought, the rabim, ashram the rabim, gets picked up by the sanitary department and gets picked up and it doesn't last. And Rishis Yachad, sometimes people are not responsible, they leave their pile of garbage, but it's opposite actually. The Gemara said, the Mefarshim explained, but Ashbib Rishis Rabim, they leave it out there all the time. No one picks it up. It just stays there. No one's collecting it. They had no sanitary department, so it just stays, and there's no chashash of it coming lower. But if Rishis Yachad, if it's a private pile, nobody leaves a private pile there all the time. It's his responsibility, and therefore there's a chashash by a Yachad that does get lower than 10 tfachim. Okay. You have no idea.